Hello, my name is Caroline Gabriel, and I'm a principal analyst at Analysys Mason, leading research in wireless technologies and business models, especially 5G. As I'm sure you're all aware, Mobile World Congress 2020 was cancelled after health concerns over the coronavirus. Despite this, I and a few of my fellow analysts pressed ahead of our annual post-MWC webinar. We wanted to provide insights from the many briefings which we've held of operators and vendors remotely in the absence of the face-to-face meetings in Barcelona, and to discuss key industry trends highlighting some of our recent in-depth research projects. This podcast is a summary of what I presented during the webinar on the topic of the virtualized RAN and its impact on the 5G commercial landscape. One thing that we can say with certainty is that MWC, had it gone ahead, would have featured a great deal of 5G content. My colleagues will be touching on some important aspects such as consumer services and the intersection of edge computing in other podcasts. But I would like to focus on a topic that goes to the heart of many of the hopes, but also the uncertainties for the 5G investment model. This is the virtualized RAN. There were several important developments in this area among the news that would have come out of MWC. The implementation of digital baseband functions of the radio access network on cloud infrastructure has the potential to transform the cost of running the RAN, which accounts for almost two-thirds of the total for most mobile operators. If those virtual network functions can be procured from a variety of vendors and the antennas and radio units from yet more suppliers, operators believe they could achieve the economics of a fully competitive multi-vendor supply chain, reducing costs per site by as much as two-thirds by 2025. In a recent survey of 78 mobile operators and other 5G deployers, conducted for an upcoming Analysys Mason report about the impact of vRAN on the 5G supply chain, 72% were aiming to implement a multi-vendor vRAN in one way or another. This could be by mixing and matching baseband and radio units from different suppliers, or taking the architecturally ambitious approach of adopting different RAN virtual network functions from multiple vendors and implementing them on the same cloud infrastructure. Although this latter approach is still immature in terms of commercial implementation, 20% expect to adopt it by 2023, and we'd expect that figure to be far higher after that date. We mustn't overstate the case. There is plenty of caution about virtualizing the RAN, and many early projects will be confined to small deployments such as rural networks, rather than creating risk for the main network. I do suspect that MWC 2020 would have seen peak hype about vRAN. However, despite caution, we do forecast steady progress, with operators encouraged by the emergence of open standards and some early large-scale commercial deployments such as Rakuten's in Japan. This early activity will produce a market worth $115 billion cumulatively between 2018 and 2023 by our estimates. We break that figure down into four components based on multiple forecasts across several of our research programs, including our brand new digital infrastructure forecast and our RAN worldwide forecast. Those components are physical cell site equipment, virtual network functions, cloud infrastructure implemented or optimized specifically for vRAN, and operations. The highest growth areas are in VNFs and operations, with compound annual growth rates of 39% and 18% respectively in the period. These account together for 49% of the total spending from 2018 to the end of 2023, while cloud infrastructure accounts for 18% with a growth rate of 11%. But true cost transformation will only come if the physical cell site equipment, the radios, the antennas and power units, to account for the largest percentage of total spending on the vRAN at 33%, can also be disaggregated and the supply chain broken open. This is where open industry initiatives such as O-RAN Alliance and Telecom Infra Project are trying to move the needle. The announcements that were due to be made at MWC show how hotly contested all these areas will be between traditional vendors, startups, and companies moving from the IT and cloud space into mobile telecoms. Some highlights I've selected from those announcements reflect the diversity of vendors and operators, which after this long period of caution about vRAN, are seeking to push the market forward. Dish, Etisalat, and Turkcell joined the list of open vRAN trials and deployments. This shows how a greater diversity of operators, including new mobile entrants like Dish, a pay TV company in the United States, are joining the early movers like Vodafone and Telefónica. We also saw ORAN and Telecom Infra Project aligning their activities to a greater degree, which gives the promise of unified platforms and therefore greater scale for open systems. As for vendors, we saw Quanta from the cloud infrastructure market, Asaxis, a remote radio head manufacturer, VMware, best known for virtualization, and many others as examples of suppliers coming from diverse sectors and geographies and all converging on the vRAN market. Meanwhile, MWC would have seen news about the very early commercial deployments of vRAN. Nokia and Altastar announced the first 5G cloud-native RAN in the world, deployed for Rakuten in Japan. This shows the potential for greenfield mobile operators like Rakuten to move ahead with new architectures and to assemble truly multi-vendor platforms. Rakuten has about 20 suppliers for its end-to-end network. But it's also true that at this stage, those greenfield operators need to have very deep pockets. We see other disruptive operators like Dish itself, like Reliance Jio in India, have good existing businesses in other areas, rich parent companies. We do believe that an open architecture in time will enable much smaller operators and a greater diversity. But at this stage, the vRAN requires an enormous amount of upfront investment in products and integration to get it right. On the chip side, Intel and Marvell showed off base station system-on-chip platforms. This gives the promise of general-purpose processors being able to be used even in the very demanding macro base station. This is vital to open infrastructure, but for now, dedicated ASIC chips remain more cost-effective, and this is one of the many barriers to vRAN. Operators and vendors are looking to compensate for that elsewhere. The economics of general-purpose infrastructure are very important, but they also need to see the total cost of ownership going down. So, for instance, we saw Deutsche Telekom supporting algorithms from a very clever air interface startup, Cohere Technologies, to drive efficiencies elsewhere in the RAN and compensate for some of their higher costs on the chip side. Despite all the new names, many MWC breakthroughs in vRAN came from the established vendors, as you'd expect. Huawei, Ericsson, Nokia and ZTE all announced upgraded vRAN products in the run-up to the show week. Overall, the big question which I came away with after looking at all this MWC-related development is, can MNOs really cope with vRAN migration and the move to multi-vendor networks together and within 5G timescales? Both of these are enormous changes to culture and process, as well as technology for the large operators. Some operators are saying it will be a migration of 6 to 7 years. We think that's too long to achieve optimal ROI on 5G investments, and that operators, vendors and industry alliances need to work together to accelerate progress in areas like automation and open platforms, which will lower the barriers to deploying the new architectures. Thank you for listening, and if you're interested in watching the full webinar covering IoT, 5G consumer use cases, edge computing, 5G infrastructure and network automation, I'm pleased to say it's now available on demand, and you can find this under the webinar section of our website. Thank you very much.